Hi there, listeners. Welcome back to the Red Gold News Podcast. And for your new listeners, welcome.
Hi there, listeners. Welcome back to another episode of the Red Gold News Podcast. My name is Brandon Gomez, and I will be your host for today's episode. So for today's episode, I wanted to talk about the movie Ford versus Ferrari, or Ford v Ferrari, depending on like how you say versus. So the reason why I wanted to bring this up is because it's a really good movie and it has a really good theme or overall main idea of what the story is going on. So you're probably like wondering, well, what's this movie about? If you're like really into cars, I'm pretty sure you know like the history of Ford v Ferrari. I believe I did a discussion on STC on the STC Blackboard, and my friend responded by saying, oh yeah, because I put in my discussion that I had watched it, that I like really liked it, and he put like in his reply that like he knew about the events and everything. Funny thing is, I'm not a big fan of cars. I've never really been, but this movie made me like really see like why people like find like an appropriation with cars, like why they kind of bond with it. So I'm pretty sure you all know that this movie was I'm pretty sure you all know that this movie was Oscar nominated last year. I didn't watch it last year because I didn't want to. I didn't feel like I should watch it. I didn't see the need to. I had watched a review for it and I felt like that was enough. The reviewer that I watched it from was Grace Randolph. I'm not sure if any of you heard of her. I watched her review. She said it was good, and she said that it was primarily not about cars, but like about, I'll go over the main idea later on in this episode, but she states that like it's a really good movie. It took me a year to get to it, and so I saw it on HBO Max the other, like a week ago or 2 weeks ago, and I was like, you know what, they said this movie was good, let me give it a watch, and let me say it's a really good movie. So before I get into like my thoughts on the film and everything, I kind of want to go over like what's the history based off, or what the event of this movie is based off of. So I looked up the history, and for the most part, it is very similar to what the film is. So like they're kind of closely related to each other. So this film is based off the rivalry of Ford and Ferrari. Of course, it's in the title. For the dominance at the Le Mans Endurance. Sorry if I butchered that name. Race along. It was an endurance race that had long been in the works at the 90. This movie had been in the works for like a long time at 20th Century Fox, as like the history goes. This movie was initially supposed to star Tom Cruise and Brad Pitt, and it was also supposed to be titled Go Like Hell, and this was supposed to be by Jason Keller. The name being taken from the book Go Like Hell for, I'm sorry if, no, it shouldn't be Ford Ferrari and Their Battle for Speed and Glory at Le Mans by AJ Bammy. The project fell apart, however, after writers Jess Butterworth and John Henry Butterworth drafted a script, and John, I'm probably going to butcher this name, Kuinski, had brought on to direct due to the budget being too high. So then on February 5th, 2018, it was announced that James Mangold, we're going to talk about him later, or we'll get to him whenever it's like my thoughts, because there's something very important about him. Had been brought on board to direct the film based on the previously scripted by Keller and Butterworth. Later, I'm gonna butcher all these names. Sorry, Catriona Balf, John Bernethel, and Noah Jope joined the cast alongside Christian Bale and Matt Damon. I'll go more into my thoughts on like the acting in this movie as well and their characters in the lead roles. In July 2018, Jack Mullen. I'm butchering all these names, sorry, was cast in the film to play one of Miles' key British mechanics, and Tracy Letts also joined to play Henry Ford II, In August 2018, J.J. Field was cast in the film to play an auto. You probably don't know some of these actors, but like once you see this movie, you're going to be like, oh wow, they did like a really good job. So I'm just going to kind of skip over a few of these. So for those of you who don't know who Mangold is, he did 310 to Yuma and The Wolverine and Logan. He's known for like those kinds of films, or he's known for these films. Sorry if I framed that well. And he's important because he's also going to, I believe, be the screenwriter and director. I may be wrong on that. For the new Indiana Jones movie that comes out, I believe, next year in 2022. So, and I have to say, he's a really good director. And with this movie, I think he proves that he can, in fact, do an Indiana Jones movie. Okay, so moving on. So like I mentioned before, this movie was Oscar nominated, and it was nominated for 4 categories specifically. So it was nominated for Best Picture, Best Film Editing, Best Sound Editing, and Best Sound Mixing. So it only won 2 out of the 4 that it was nominated for. It won for Best Film Editing and Best Sound Editing. I do have to say the editing was pretty good in the movie, although I don't have that much experience in like editing a film, but I thought it was pretty good from based off what I saw. Given like I'll go more on like more over like why he should do it in a few. So filming began on January the 30th, 2018, and lasted 67 days, taking place in California. California, New Orleans, Louisiana, Atlanta, Savannah, and Statesboro, Georgia, as well as Le Mans, France. So they actually like went to the racetrack field that was like there. Well, that was really cool. So race scenes that appear in the film as Daytona were filmed at Auto Club Speedway in Fontana. Damn, I'm really butchering all these names. Many other race scenes were filmed at Honda Test Track, doubling for the Willow Springs Raceway in Mojave Valley at the Person Experience for the Destination Tournament. So it was nominated for other awards events, but they're not really as well known as the Oscars, so that's why I kind of chose to do the Oscars. So, but it did win a good majority of awards throughout its like campaign season. Okay, so now let me go into the actual history. What I presented before was like the history of how the movie was made. So now I'm gonna go into the history of the movie itself. And this is like very similar to like the plot of the movie. So the history of this events that take place is that it recounts a business deal gone wrong and a reactionist, stubborn, egotistical automotive titan who was willing to spend some 25 million and thousands of engineering men hours to avenge his pride. To Ford, this that meant beating Ferrari in the world's most prestigious car race, the 24 hours of Le Mans, which the prancing horse had historically dominated. So I did. Whenever I was watching the movie, they didn't really make it clear that it was like a 24-hour race. So I was like, "Oh my gosh!" And surprisingly, I figured they probably do this like in our real life, and I'm pretty sure they're still doing it. It was really surprising to me that they have to do it for 24 hours, and I was like, "What? They have to be there for 24 hours, just driving around the same track like over and over again." It was really surprising to me. So the story begins in early 1960s. U.S. purchasing habits changed as the baby boomer generation came of age. For the first time in history, youth were more important to America's business boom line than their parents. Boomers had lots of disposable income to spend on items such as cars, clothes, and houses. And unlike there's a penny saved and a penny earned parents who had lived through the Great Depression and World War II, they were looking for something unique from a new vehicle. They wanted cars that were sportier and, I'm not going to say that word, valuing speed and performance over comfort and reliability. They wanted sports cars, a fact that was not lost on the executives at Ford Motor Co. And you actually see this explored in the film. And then within the movie, they also show like how with this, Ford was kind of like sliding down in sales. So what happened was that like they needed new ideas, and then the idea of them doing sports cars came up, and then like I think one of the guys said, we have to do it kind of like how Ferrari does it. So initially Ford was going to buy Ferrari to get like that kind of thing, but then instead they ended up going to war, quote unquote, because I think it was a lie, or I think he actually did say it. It's been a while. I'm going off of like what I initially thought about the movie, but I think it was a lie. I could be wrong. And then that's kind of like what started like the war between Ford and Ferrari, and for them to do all of that. The one problem, of course, that came up was that Ford did not have any sports cars in its portfolio, and there were no plans to build one. So it was deciding that the most expedient way of bringing a vehicle to the market would be to acquire one. That's when, and then this is where they get the idea of purchasing Ferrari. So then this eventually leads to them having to hire, like after they win a war, I'm not sure if I stated this. So now they were looking for people to build their cars, and that's whenever they created a Ford experimental engine group that was located in Devrim Mission. And then this is kind of like where we start to see the characters in the movie come in. So then they were able to get Los Angeles car designer Carroll Shelby, I may say his first name wrong, sorry, and he was one of the only American drivers to ever win at Le Mans, probably saying that wrong too, to run race operations. So, and this character is played by Matt Damon. And he was already a consultant on the project, but now he was in charge, responsible for its success or failure. And then later in, he would bring in his trusted friend to go test drive an engineer specialist, and he was also an engineer specialist, and this was Ken Miles, and this was Christian Bale's character. And he was a person who reinvented the GT40, which is the car that was used to drive. Throughout the movie, they're kind of like making improvements to like the car because it's like not stable at times. So over the course of the movie, you see them like trying to improve, they're test driving it. What makes this movie really cool, I would have to say, is the very last part, which is the actual race that like it's been building up to. And I was you get really invested in Ken wanting to win because Ken is the one who's driving. And then there's also a scene later on in the film that kind of comes back in the future, and it's like it was really clever of it to come back, and I'm pretty sure it's also what happened in real life. So, and then later on after the race of Le Mans, spoiler, you should have watched this movie by now. If you haven't seen it, I suggest you go watch it on HBO Max. I probably should have said that at the beginning, but sorry. And after the race, like a few years later, I believe, Miles dies in a car accident while testing out the car again. And it's because of, if you watch the movie, you know what it was, the brakes. Okay, so now my thoughts about them. So the characters, the main, these being Kent, Miles, and Shelby. I'm just going to call him Shelby because I can't say his first name. So Kent Miles was played by Christian Bale. Oh, I should probably get into like the main theme of the movie. So the main theme of the movie is the portrayal of the businessman versus the cooperation between the businessman and the artist, and how like it's kind of difficult for them to work together in a way. So Kent Miles was played by Christian Bale. I really liked his acting. He did a really good job. And his performance was very relatable, or the character was, because Kent Miles was the artist in terms, and he did a really good job. I think that is his accent that he used for the movie, and I thought it was really good. Also, I'm gonna get into like a few story elements. Whenever there's a scene later on in the midway or like one third within the movie that kind of impacts him, because he kind of makes an enemy, and if he hadn't made that enemy, he could have probably won the race. And I'll get more into what happens at the end of the race. And another person, and then moving on to the next character, it would be Shelby, who was played by Matt Damon. I had to say I liked him a lot, because he basically embodied like what I kind of want to do as like a future career, which is something between an artist and a businessman. And I kind of liked his character because of that, because he embodied both the artist and the businessman, because he had that experience as being a race car driver, and then that also now that he was like a businessman. So I kind of liked that, and it kind of like inspired me to kind of go for that kind of thing. And the entire cast was really good in this movie. Like, you see like a lot of good performances. I don't remember everybody's name in the movie. I'm just going, like I said, off my initial thoughts, but everybody did a really good job. Now the story. The story was very well paced for a 2 hour and 30 minute film. I was not bored like at any second of it. I'm pretty sure like if you were to watch it, you may find it boring, but like I was pretty invested throughout the movie, or like I'm not gonna lie, I was kind of on my phone sometimes, so I kind of missed on some stuff. Another thing I wanted to bring up was that this movie makes you feel like you lived in that age of cinema. So this movie was around the 1960s. So then it kind of has like the 60s cinema feel of how movies were made back then. Another thing I want to bring up was that there was a lot of men and very few women and very little people of color. And that's kind of how it was back then. So yeah, so it feels like you live in that area, in that age of cinema of the 1960s, and I thought that was a really cool feeling, 'cause like I'd only watched like I believe like one very old movie and that's it. But like based off that one that I saw, it feels like you're living in that age of cinema. So like I mentioned before, this movie is not even really about cars. It's about the complicated relationship between the artist and the businessman. And I really like that like angle. Like although I wasn't like invested in cars, and like I know I watched a review previously that mentioned like it's not really about cars, it's about like this angle of the artistman versus the businessman. And I think after a while I kind of like grew to that, and I was like, okay, let me watch it. And as a matter of fact, it was true that it's not about cars but about the artist and the businessman. And although there's like a car, a whole race at the end, that's the scene that I felt like at the end there's a whole race, and I love that scene because you're like very invested. And then that's kind of where you also see the playing out of the artist versus the businessman, especially at the end. Because that ending, I'm mad because Kent got second place instead of first like he should have. But no. It makes me mad because like I mentioned before, there's a character that he meets later on in the movie that if he hadn't been rude to him, he could have actually made it. And like if you watch that ending scene, I don't want to spoil too much of it. It's like you're gonna be like, what? No. Okay, so I think that pretty much wraps up my thoughts on the film. It's a really good film. You can find it on HBO Max or you can rent it. Yeah, I think you can rent it. Overall, it's a really good film. I think you'll enjoy it, and I do think it was given the right nominations for the things that it deserved, and I highly recommend it. And so I think that concludes everything I want to say, and that concludes this episode of the podcast. Thank you for listening, and follow the Red Gold News podcast. Yeah, bye.
This episode was made for us by our Red Goes News. We thank you for listening to today's segment. For more content, visit our Red Goes News website to learn more.